Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
Well, good morning. How's everyone doing? Hope you had a Merry Christmas and last day of 2023. Happy New Year. You guys looking forward to the New Year, I'm hoping. I just have to pause for a second and admit, you know, it's great to have Sunday today because now I know what day of the week it is. This last week, this every year, it's like, what day of the week it is? You know, it's like kids are out of school, no businesses are open, you know, I'm just waking up at noon. It's just a weird week. We're here. We made it. Grateful for today. Today we are finishing our sermon series, Simple Christmas. And today's topic is a simple beginning, which is really appropriate as we talk about a new year. And what do we do with this new year? How do we bring this kind of message we've been speaking beyond? Because Emmanuel means God with us. And that as Christmas season is ending, we know that carries into every part of our year as believers because Jesus is with us through his Holy Spirit. Amen? So we're going to look at that lens a little bit. I do have to just pause for a second, though, and just acknowledge for many of us, the theme of simple Christmas is anything but simple in our culture and time frame and the world that we live in. And just specifically, let me just share for the Short family what that looks like and how this has been really an ironic series for the life and stage of me and my wife with our four teenage daughters that we have, who uniquely this year are all at different schools, four different schools, and every one of those schools I love, but they all have some things they want me to do. You know, there's Christmas things, there's fundraisers, there's activities that go into that year. So times it by four, and we're at a just crazy season. We actually so much so had to set a calendar for each one of our girls and color code them so that we could keep track of every night of the week. Our calendar looks like a prism of colors. Not a prison, a prism of colors. Trying to keep track of what's going on when is just a lot to juggle. And, you know, as we've been journeying through this series, one of the things my wife and I have just really, it's been impressed upon our heart to take this message in the midst of a busy season and not just gloss over it. You know, it'd be really easy for us to just say, like many of you parents, just to go, man, I just can't wait until I'm an empty nester, or I can't wait till the next season. We want to embrace and live in the season that we're in and enjoy it. Enjoy the gift that God has given us in this time and season. But in the midst of talking about simple, really what's been impressed upon us is how do we make the message of Christ and the importance of our devotion to him a part of everything that we do. Not separated by, it's like, you know, we're going to this school thing, or now we're gonna go to church. It's like in all of our calendar that Jesus is the center of it. And that even on those drives, and even on the busy schedule, we go back to him as the simplicity and the purity of our devotion to Christ. That's the heart of what we've been doing in this series, because we're all in the midst of a real world with real calendars, real responsibilities, and this is not to neglect that. It's to say, how do we kind of push all that stuff, all that distraction aside and see Jesus for who he is? You know, we started this series with this text, and I want to remind us of it before we jump into this message. It's 2 Corinthians 11:3. It says, I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. That's been the heart of this series, is that we would not be deceived by all of the distractions and all the things that would catch our eye and mind and heart, that we would be recentered on Jesus and our devotion to him. That is what Christmas is about, and that's what we want to carry into the new year. We want to carry this with us, and this series has been a helpful setup for those conversations. We've talked about that deception. We've talked about the story, the true Christmas story that all of it is anchored to, the message, and then last week, with our Christmas services, Jim talked about the plan all along was that the manger would lead us towards Jesus' purpose and destination, which was the cross. He would come to bring reconciliation from sin, our sin debt would be paid, and that he would give us eternal hope with him. That's where we've went in this series. And I do have to just kind of acknowledge the season that we're in and just what the culture wants to push through these many holidays is from one season to the next. You know, we just finished, that's what makes this weird week happen is, you know, we had this pinnacle moment for the, even for the culture. Christmas is, it's the time for businesses to sell, you know, to make money. And then Christmas is over, the holiday is over, and we have this week, and then it's like next is the new year. And we just ate a bunch of food for all these holidays, and now we're gonna move into the new year, and we're gonna do what? We're gonna lose all the weight. You know, we're gonna go to the gym, we're gonna have our new routines, new year, new you. Feels kind of weird, because the culture is pushing a special moment just to sell, while as believers, we have a different purpose for what we're doing, don't we? And if you're hung up, by the way, on the word holiday, let's just redeem it. You know, if some of you guys get offended when people say happy holidays, the word holiday literally comes from the word holy, holy day, holy days. So when someone says it, you can redeem it. And that's what we're gonna do today. We're gonna redeem the holy day of a new year. That it wouldn't just be about new year, new you. It would be truly about how do we bring this into the new year? A simple beginning. Centered on Christ, that it is a chance for a fresh start with the right things in mind. Every year I love to just take a quick glance at the statistics to look at how we're doing with New Year's resolutions. And I think this is a good sobering reminder for all of us. Only 9% of Americans that make resolutions complete them. 23% quit in the first week. 43% quit by the end of January. So even if the target was right, we're still not doing very well. What I want to talk about today and just kind of challenge us today with is what if this idea of new year, new you, really had some significance as a holy day? And as we talk about simple beginnings, we carry what we've talked about through this series into the new year, and that our devotion to Christ would be center of the target. And it's not to say that physical training and trying to lose weight is a bad thing, but there's a better thing that impacts this life and the life to come. And you probably are thinking of scripture that I already have been mentioning that would just set the tone a little bit for where we're gonna go today. This talking about physical training and spiritual training, we're gonna look at 1 Timothy 4, 7 through 10. Listen to this. Do not waste your time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. This is why we work hard and continue to struggle, for our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all people and particularly of all believers. So physical training is good. It's a good thing. But there's a much better direction for us. And it's really anchored in this idea that's at the end of that text, that our hope is in the living God. Our hope isn't in the temporary circumstances in the world that we're in right now, though we're in it, we're in the world. Our hope, our dependence is in him forever. Our devotion to him. And as believers, if we really live that way, if we really do believe that eternity is at stake and that we have his blessing and we're gonna walk with him, it might just change our direction for how we interact with the new year. It's much better. And I wanted to just share a quick story, an example of what this kind of envisioned in my mind is this gap between the temporary world and the things that we care about and the eternal perspective and how it's much better to focus on that. Just a couple weeks ago, my family and I, we got to travel down to visit our family and do an early Christmas at my in-laws in Central Oregon. And just to set the scene just a little bit, they help manage a Christian camp. This is where they live, and we're going to visit them with multiple families. And it's the classic Christian camp. If you've been to one, it's cabins with bunk beds, you know, with spiders everywhere. And, you know, that's where we're staying as a family. And in the center of the camp was this big kind of lodge, cafeteria, where the families would all hang out. And so we're there. I was reminded of an even older memory when we were down visiting with them, which is what I want to share this morning. About 12 years ago, my girls were all real little at the time. They're, you know, preschoolers, and you know, we had pack and plays, and we would set up the cabin that they were sleeping in just for perfect optimal sleeping conditions. If you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. You have to have a fan going. You got to have, the heat's got to be the right temperature. You got to have the light. You know, can't be too dark or too light to sleep somewhere else. So we're, you know, we get them all situated. They're sleeping in this cabin. And, you know, in the evenings, we would be hanging out at the lodge. All the adults would be playing games. And we would have a baby monitor. I'm not a bad parent. I still know they're okay. You know, they're sleeping in the cabin. We're hanging out in the lodge. The scene's set. We good? So we're hanging out one night, and this happened a couple nights, and we're watching the baby monitor while we're, you know, playing games. And I'd look over occasionally and see the baby monitor with the fan just enough where I know no one's screaming, no one's dying, and we're fine. And so check back in. Until I look over at one moment and there's no lights on the monitor. And that's kind of weird. So I walk over to the door, open up the door to look out at the whole side of the camp. There's no power. And I'm like, that's weird. And I could faintly hear my girls screaming. I mean, I shouldn't say faintly, at the top of their lungs, you know, like, the fan was off, the light was off, the world was ending. And so I went into dad mode real quick, and I went to sprint, can't really see, but sprint directly towards their cabin. And this is rainy Central Oregon. And so just a few steps in, I step into mud that's up to my knee or beyond, and I'm just stuck. And I realize I went right through the marsh on the way to the cabin. So at this moment, I have a decision to make. And the decision is, do I back up? Do I leave my shoe behind and continue towards my girls? Or do I try and unearth my shoe from deep in this mud and save my cheap dad shoes? You know, this is the decision that I have. And of course, I left my girls behind, whatever. They're gonna be fine. That was a joke. Obviously, the decision was simple, wasn't it? I wanted to help my girls. They're screaming, they're terrified. My shoe's value in that moment had very little significance, did it? My girls had an eternal, significant, incomparable gap of care that I had for my girls compared to my shoe. You see the scene that I'm setting? That is maybe just a little glimpse, probably not even as good as what we're seeing here in the text, of what it means to train physically and what it means to train spiritually for eternity. You see, that there's things that we're in the middle of, a temporary world that we want to focus on, and they're fine for the world that we're in the middle of, but there's a much better way because our hope is in the living God. And that's what I wanna change gears now to, is to go, well, what are some of those shifts? You know, we hear all about the new year, new you, and what to do. And again, we know the stats don't show that it's working very well. But what do we do as believers to have this kind of shift for a right beginning place? And we're gonna turn to Colossians to kind of unpack three different shifts in the new year that I think we'll be able to try on. I'm gonna go through these pretty quick, and then we're gonna come back and get practical with these. Let's start in Colossians 2, 6 through 8, and then we'll talk about the first shift. Here's what it says. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. This first shift is so significant. You can't miss it if you have your notes. It's from my way to his way. And we saw that in this verse. We talked about what it means to be rooted, built up, strengthened in him, as opposed to being held captive through hollow, deceptive philosophy, human tradition, which is exactly what we're talking about. But we would have a different perspective, and we would trust his leadership. The word that we use all the time is Jesus is Lord. That I'm gonna take my direction, not from my own seat of leadership and my own way of doing things, and that everything's about my being on the throne of my life. I'm gonna take it towards his direction and what he wants from me, from my way to his way. Here's the second one. Let's jump to Colossians 2:12, just a couple verses down from there. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. You can see this shift, can't you? It's from dead, we were dead, to alive. I don't think there's any bigger shift that we can take than from dead to alive. I mean, even just if you see someone who has died, they were with you and then all of a sudden they're gone. It is shocking, isn't it? The lifelessness, it's like they're not even there. How much different is it to go from dead to alive? I mean, it was frightening and terrifying when Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead. When Jesus rose from the dead, they were terrified because of what that meant. He was dead, and then he came back to life. But that is actually the shift that we're talking about, and that's what this passage is talking about, that there was a debt that we owed, there was a life that we lived that led us to death, that we deserved, and we were dead in our transgressions and sins, and our life was dead. But the shift from dead to alive means that now our focus is being alive with Christ. Because just like we saw in this scripture, Christ died, he was buried, and he rose again, which I just wanna celebrate again. Seeing someone get baptized, that's why we make such a big deal of it. Because they're publicly recognizing what God has done in their life. And they're saying, I am dead to my old self. Praise God. And I am alive to God. And heaven celebrates when someone takes that. This is not a little shift. This isn't just like, yeah, I decided to get baptized. It is a life-changing, dead to alive, positional change someone takes on. And I do want to just mention real quick, you know, Jim said last week, you know, in the new year, maybe that's the choice you need to take and you've been putting off for a while is to get baptized. I'll just say this, it is not too late, even today. At the end of this service, if you want to come and pray with someone, talk with someone, we can do a baptism after this service. We can do it at our next service. Don't wait for this moment. And for all of us who have been baptized, we can look back at that moment and we can declare, that is a marker in my life where my old self is visualized and put to death. I'm alive to Christ and his working in my life. That's that second shift that we're talking about. And here's the third one that probably has the most practical in our day. As we build upon the foundation of Jesus as Lord and Savior, that we're shifting from my way to his way, from dead to alive, we're gonna look at one more shift in the next part of Colossians. We're gonna jump to Colossians 3. 1 through 4. I wish I could read this entire book, but this is a packed paragraph here I want to read. 1 through 4. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. This last shift is from temporary to eternal. And just for a second, think about that. Our thinking in the world that we're living in so often consumes our thoughts, that we're focused on things that are right in front of us, right in our time frame. This week, this month, this year, that's even the new year mindset is, you know, what are you gonna do this year? Which I think it helps. It helps to have kind of like, hey, we're gonna focus on this. But what about eternity? What about the rest of existence? That your thinking wouldn't just be about what's right in front of us, it would be about heaven. We set our sights on the realities of heaven is what it says. Our hearts, our minds, our very life is hidden with Christ in God. I wanna read a quote from C.S. Lewis that I think accents this so well. It says, if you read history, you will find that the Christians who did most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next. That's C.S. Lewis from Mere Christianity. Think about that. Those who did most for this present world were the ones who were thinking about the next, which seems a little bit counterintuitive. How does me thinking about the next world impact this world? It's because the decisions that we make, the things that we're focusing on, they aren't temporary. And when we shift our mindset, we take this third shift towards eternal thinking, now the things that I run into have a different tone and we have a different posture as we engage them. I have a little test that I do in my head when I'm thinking about this and I'm thinking about what am I doing that makes a difference? Am I focusing on the right things? And it's a little bit morbid, so you can try this out, you might not like it, but it's called the 1, 10, and 100 year after you're dead theory, okay? So let's just, you know, you're dead, memorial happens, everyone says nice things at your memorial. I've never been to a memorial where someone says, he was a bad guy, but they say nice things. Let's fast forward 1 year. What do people remember about you? What was the impact that you made? You know, your family is gonna remember, hopefully, remember your jokes and your mannerisms, all those things about you. They remember things you cared about. How about 10 years later, when it's a little bit of a faded memory? You know, it's gonna be probably just those who were close to you that really remember your story. How about 100 years after you are dead, when no one that you actually met is alive? What is the impact that you had? What are the things that I care about today that actually impact 100 years from now? It kind of changes our thinking a little bit, doesn't it? It changes how we think about things, because then it's like, you know, the things that I'm anxious about, that I'm stressed about, the things that I'm focusing so much time on really have no significance in eternity. Now, I'm not saying there are things that we have to take care of. We have to feed our family. Don't get me wrong. But what if we just changed a little bit of our mindset towards, is this thing that I'm doing and caring about, is it actually gonna make a difference for the rest of eternity? That little shift might be the right shift that you need as we look at how to really have a new beginning that makes a difference in this new year. I wanna go back to that text just for a minute and talk about what do we see is kind of the theme of all of this. What does Jesus desire? What does he desire from us? And we see it right in the direction that he's looking as he's talking about Jesus. What does Paul talk about? He says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your, number one, hearts. on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds, number two, on the things above, not on earthly things, for you died. And number three, your life is hidden with Christ in God. He desires our hearts, our minds, and our very life. That seems pretty simple, doesn't it? Simple Christmas. He wants our hearts, he wants our minds, he wants our very life. That's a lot to ask, Jesus. Like, you want everything? You want all of our attention? Yes. He wants the direction of our hearts, our minds, and our life. And I think just looking at the cross is a perfect reminder of that. That he went to the cross on our behalf out of love. He wants us to set our gaze towards him, our attention towards him, our minds, and that our very life would be hidden within him. And this sounds a lot like the definition of a disciple to me. We talk about what it means to follow Christ, be changed by Jesus, and on mission with Jesus as a disciple. That's the call that he had with his disciples. He doesn't take shortcuts, which is what makes this whole conversation a little bit complicated, because new year, new you, physical habits is almost like, hey, cool, I can just do this routine. What we're being asked to do from this scripture is to give him everything. And that even in these different shifts that we're talking about, it starts with Jesus is Lord. I'm gonna follow his way, not my way. It's moving from being dead to alive. He's my savior. He saved me from sin. And then I'm gonna move from temporary thinking to eternal thinking because our hope is in the living God. So just for a moment, just let that sink in. He wants everything. And now as we go into the new year and we encounter real things that are gonna happen, you probably have your list of things you're processing right now. How am I gonna deal with this situation when I go back to work? After this great holiday, how do I go back to work and deal with a culture that maybe gossips all the time? You have a decision to make. Am I gonna live in dead thinking or alive thinking? What is my choice gonna be? How do I engage that? How do I take a step? Maybe the thing you're gonna be challenged with is a sin pattern that you know is right around the corner in the new year. And you're like, you know, it's only gonna take a couple weeks. I don't wanna do it, but that's coming. How do you move from I'm on the throne of my life to Jesus is on the throne? I don't wanna live in my deadness of sin. I wanna live alive to God. How do we actually do it? Well, we saw it here in this text. We're gonna set our hearts, our minds, and our very life within him. And we can't do that alone either, can we? It's the value of the church is we need people to help us with this. We need to be rooted and established in his word, in our life of prayer and our conversation with him. There are no easy way out when it comes to these decisions, but we need to set our life up for an eternal destination and direction. I wanna finish with a few warnings that we could all have as we encounter some of these things in the new year and we look ahead. And these warnings, I think, are helpful for us to go. I think we all desire, as believers, we all desire to live this way. But we live in the middle of a world that has some significant challenges. And here's some of those that I wanna warn us about. One would be distractions. What are the things in your life that are distracting you from this kind of eternal living? Jesus is Lord, he is Savior, my hope is in him. What are the things that distract me from that? And I would say probably the best way to find out is to ask someone around you, what are the distractions? That's what this whole message is about. This whole series is about. How do we get back to the simplicity and the purity of our devotion to Christ? Here's the second one. This is a big one in our era, is comparison. Looking around and seeing others and saying, well, why am I not spiritually mature as that person? Why is this person able to do that and go on that vacation? I mean, you just pull up social media and 10 seconds in and you're comparing yourself to someone else. It's a vice of our culture, comparison. But comparison steals joy. Because we're not evaluating ourselves on Christ and what he has for us. We're comparing ourselves to someone else. And brokenness and really deadness is what we're comparing ourselves to. The third warning would be expectations. What are the expectations of how far you've come? Looking ahead, I wish I would have come this far by this point. Why am I still struggling with this sin? Why am I still struggling? That you have a certain level of expectation in your mind and you're not sure why you can't get through that. This can be a real challenge for us, and I would say who we're comparing ourselves to and the destination is what Jesus has for us. I'm not comparing myself to anyone else. I am walking with him, Emmanuel, God with us. And when my expectations are wrong, I can be severely hurt because I've missed what he has for me in the future. As opposed to truly and simply just walking with him on this journey of our faith. That's the kind of journey that our God has. He wants our hearts, our minds, our life. There are no shortcuts, but it's a chance for a simple beginning. You know, I was thinking of, every year we kind of go into the year and we kind of think we have an idea of what to expect in the new year. We kind of have like this, I think I know what this year's gonna hold. And that's why we obviously set goals and stuff like that. I'm thinking of one iconic year in our recent history where, we went into the year 2020 with so many hopes and dreams. Remember that? Remember going into 2020 being like 2020 vision, it's gonna be amazing, you know? And then we had this weird thing that happened across the nation world called COVID. And I'm not gonna get into all the politics of that right now, don't worry. But it was a weird season, wasn't it? Remember the uncertainty, even of church gatherings? Remember like March of 2020? And as a leadership and as a team, we were, every day it was like, who are we gonna make mad today? You know, who's gonna be upset about not doing service or doing service and going online and all these things? No one was happy. No one could have expected that year. I do remember our last physical gathering before the shutdown. I remember the kind of the fear that people had. And there was just a real trepidation that was there. And I remember Gabe Cleave in our last message said this quote, and it was so good, I haven't forgotten it. I don't think he said it. He's smart, but he's not this smart, but I wrote it down. He said this, "I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future." Just we looked at the next year in our life. There's a lot of things we don't know are gonna happen this year. Is our anchor to the eternal things of an eternal God who does hold the future, or is it to ourself? Who are you gonna trust in this new year? I'm gonna put my trust in the living God, that he knows what's gonna happen in the midst of the most uncertain situations and circumstances in our lives. I mean, it'd be nice if we could predict the future 1 year from now and go, hey, this is what happened this year. We don't know, none of us do. Our life is fragile. It's precious. But if our whole focus and gaze is right before us on this temporary nature, we could miss the most important, a better way in the new year. I pray that we would do that together, that we would go into the new year knowing who holds the future. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this reminder of the truth of the hope of the gospel. I'm praying today for those that are struggling and maybe even on the fence right now about making a decision for you, that this would be the day they do that. Thank you for this time to gather. Thank you for the chance to dive deeper as we look at you. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.